Christmas is only 2 weeks away from today, isn't it? I don't know whether you've been out. My family went to New York City yesterday, and I feel like I've seen so many people. Thousands of them, literally. I don't want to go back to the city for a while, anyway. Seems like everywhere we turn to is filled with people and filled with the Christmas spirit. Giving and sharing, isn't it? Bells of the Salvation Army are ringing for the needy people, and people are filling the kettle with generosity and kindness. That's a good thing. Houses are decorated with beautiful Christmas trees and lights, and malls and stores are packed with shoppers. And soon, the house of God, the church, will be filled with worshipers. We hope it'll continue so. Yes, indeed, it is the wonderful time of the year, as we sing. It is the season of joy and celebration, the joy of celebration of Jesus' birth. A different kind of celebration was going on in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, though. That night, angels appeared to the shepherds and announced, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Let me repeat. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Yes, joy is the key word, isn't it? Of the Advent season. It is especially true to the believers in Christ. We need our joy. We all agree. Yet we don't have joy somehow. I'll get to that. And the scripture says that Christ is our great joy. And that's why every Christmas season we sing joy to the world, meaning Christ is the joy to the world and great joy for all people. The real question is Christ my joy as well? That question led me to study the word joy in the Bible, and I'm about to share with you what I have discovered. First of all, Christ himself is the joy we long for. You don't have to look far. He's right there. He is the joy we long for. Some of us think that Christ is a killjoy. I remember a friend of mine many years ago, he says, "Geun, I stopped coming to church because there are so many rules and regulations in the church and I don't want to be part of it." He thought Jesus was a killjoy. No, he's not a killjoy. He is a joy giver. He doesn't take away joy from you or me. On the contrary, he's the only one who can fill us with the true joy that satisfies our soul to begin with, that transcends circumstances, and the joy that lasts eternally. You may ask me, how can you say that? Because every person who met Jesus overflowed with joy. Think of Mary, for instance. She was a virgin, as we know it, who was engaged to Joseph. One day, Gabriel, the messenger of God, appeared to her saying that she would conceive a child, not by man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. It must have been a frightening experience and real shocker to this young lady, who was not even 20 years old. Pregnant before the wedding? Unthinkable in those days. Literally, it meant a death penalty, a great shame to begin with, both to herself and to her family, and serious breach of engagement, and a potential death by stoning by the village folk. Yet the surprising fact is this: Mary took the shocking news from God with gusto, with praise, and great joy. The joy that transcends her challenges, including the possible death. But consider this time, the shepherds in the fields we read today, they were told by an angel of the Lord that the Savior was born in Bethlehem. So they left their flock behind and they went to Bethlehem right away to check it out. The good news of Christ's birth enabled them, encouraged them to take the night trip and knocking at many doors to locate the newborn king. I'm giving you the new secret in terms of Christmas story. You know, I'm getting to that too. Wise men, they were led by what? Star. Star stopped and they knew where the baby was. What about shepherds? Did anyone tell them which house they have to go? No. That's why I said they knocked at many doors before they finally get to the place. It's not just me making up or imagining this. If you read verse 16, it says they found their way. Now, how many of you know the word Eureka? Eureka. How many of you actually said that? Did you know that without knowing it, you're saying a Greek word? Eureka means, what's the meaning of it anyway? I found it. That's exactly a Greek word. Eureka means, I found it or I have found it. But you know what? Eureka means that it's like you walk into the room and you saw a quarter on the floor. Oh, Eureka. That's Eureka. You run into it. You don't put any effort to it. That's what it means. Now, Greek people, they're very peculiar in terms of choosing the right word to in the right context. If you found by accident, they use the word Eureka. But in the original text in verse 16, today's text, they didn't use the word Eureka. They used a different word. You don't have to know the Greek word here, but on Eureka. That means that you find it after a thorough search. That's what I mean. So it's like you walk in, you lost something, your wedding ring, whatever, and you know it's in the room, and you search and search and finally found it. You don't say, a Eureka. No. You say, on Eureka, a little different word. Anyway, that's why I say they knocked at many doors before they found the baby and the family. So they found the baby and the family as they've been told, and then returning to their flock, they were filled with joy, and they glorified and praised God for what they had witnessed. I bet they would not exchange their joy with anything else in the world. Now, one more group to whom Christ gave his joy. It was the wise men from the east. From the time when they first saw the star of the newborn king in the west, they're coming from east, so in the west, to the time of worship baby Jesus, they were on the road for, scholars say, hundreds of miles and for many weeks. So they must have been exhausted by the time they arrived in Jerusalem first. Yet they were filled with joy again, the scripture says, when the star reappeared and led their way to baby Jesus. Now consider all these three groups, Mary, shepherds, and wise men. What is one thing in common among these three groups? One word, joy, isn't it? When they met the newborn Christ, their lives changed forever. They all rejoiced. Imagine you and I standing before the newborn king, and we too would worship and rejoice along with these witnesses, right? So what would make us rejoice? The feeling of awe and the sense of wonder, chosen by God to witness the greatest historic moment of all, the coming of Messiah in human form. I talked about it last Sunday, incarnation. Jesus is, as Martin Janus says, joy of our desiring. He is the great joy for all people. The second thing I discovered from my study is this. Christ's joy is for us. The joy of Christ is meant for every one of us. You see, the first Christmas, the joy of Christ didn't stop there. It continued with the followers of Christ. For instance, when Jesus' disciples saw the risen Christ, the scripture says they were filled with joy. That's the joy I'm talking about. The same joy also filled the believers in the early church days and for the next 2,000 years. Even today, Jesus our Lord gives us his promise that we would have his joy, Christ's joy, made full in us. John 17:13. I don't know how you take someone's promise. The Lord is recently speaking to me, Ge-yun Choi, take my promise seriously. I said, Lord, I will. Because when He gives us promise, He means to keep it. Have you ever realized that? When Christ says that my joy will be made full in you, it's promise, and He wants to keep it. It is rather us don't take it seriously, isn't it? Christ's joy is meant for us, every child of God, He says. It is His gift to all, and therefore joy is an integral part of our Christian life. Not just in part, Christ says, in full measure. Not just in good times only, but in bad times as well. Not just around Christmas time, but all year round and beyond. Not just yesterday or today, but tomorrow and eternally. That's Christ's joy. Now let's think about our reality now. Why is it that so many believers seem to have no joy in their lives? Perhaps some of us never met Christ the living. Perhaps we lack the sense of awe or wonder in our faith in Christ. Question for all of us. Does my faith excite me? Does my hope in resurrection really excite me and get me going? Does love of God really energize me? How would you answer that? Perhaps we have no conviction because we have no faith, because we have no conviction that we are special in the sight of God. There are so many God's children walking around dejected. And I said, where is our pride that we are children of the heavenly King, princesses and princes? Perhaps we are unsure that God has chosen us to be His children, as I said. And perhaps some of us never believe that Christ has paid the wages of our sin once and for all. Some of us simply believe that Christ is, Jesus is one of the good moral teachers. Nothing to do with our own sin. Perhaps we don't confess that Jesus was physically resurrected from the dead. It's sad reality, folks. Some people who claim that they are Christians do not believe in Christ's physical resurrection. You don't have to take my word for it. The scripture says, if you do not believe in Christ's resurrection, your faith is in vain. It's not going to work. So it's almost oxymoron you say that I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Christ's physical resurrection. In the name of science. So you make up your mind. Do I believe in Christ's resurrection? Or do I believe in what the science says? Actually, true science says, doesn't say that Christ has not resurrected. It's just people's teaching there. Perhaps the reason why we don't have joy is because we lack faith in the Almighty God with whom nothing is impossible. We treat God, we say one thing in the church, but we treat God as if He is powerless, or at least not powerful in all things. Perhaps we don't trust in God who is greater than any other problem we face every day. Perhaps, don't you think, it is time that we experience the wonder of God's miracles or answered prayers. Perhaps it's time that we lived out our faith in absolute obedience to God so that we may have Christ's joy eternally. Third thing I discovered from my study is this. Only Christ, not the world, can give us the joy eternal. Have you noticed that Christ's joy is absolutely and totally different from the worldly joy? The worldly joy is based upon our feelings and circumstances. It comes and goes and depending on our moods. It is conditional and circumstantial. The Christian joy is different. It is not rooted in circumstances. It does not depend on our feelings either. Why? Because it originates from God. So even amid our unhappiness, we can still have Christ's joy deep down in our hearts. It is the same joy that Apostle Paul talks about in two places in 2 Corinthians. Listen to this. He says, I am as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, if you think of his own word, how can a person so sorrowful, yet rejoicing all the time? That's not the only place he talks about. He says, chapter 7, verse 4 of the same letter, I am overflowing with joy. Well, you and I would say that, yes, I'm overflowing with joy because, you know, I got this nice Christmas bonus, promotion, something good. But let me tell you what he wrote. He says, I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction. Affliction? Yes, he says that. Overflowing with joy in all affliction? If I use my knife and somehow cut, or paper cut, if you will, ouch, I wouldn't call this affliction. Affliction means major, major disaster or catastrophe, like cancer or something. But he says, I'm overflowing with joy. Unless you call Apostle Paul, you're a crazy man. Let me tell you, he found the secret of Christ's joy. Christ's joy comes when we encounter the living Jesus in our lives. When was the last time you had a nice person-to-person one-on-one conversation with Christ? It doesn't have to be, you know, sitting on your knees and, you know, just pray to God at night. Christ's joy comes from the assurance of Jesus as your Savior and Lord. It is available to all who choose to walk with God every day. No wonder it is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Finally, one question for all of us. How do we have Christ's joy? It is very simple. First of all, you don't work hard to get it. It's not going to come by your own might or effort. Don't worry about it. Next, let me tell you one thing. Be determined to live according to God's will at any cost. Let me repeat. Live according to God's will at any cost, no matter what. Then you will be filled with a joy unspeakable. Where did I get this idea from? From Mary one more time. What made her overflow with extreme joy when she was told that she was going to be the mother? Remember her attitude? Listen to her own words. After angel says that you're going to conceive a child, you will give birth to a son and so all these things. At the end, Mary said to the angel, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Basically, she says, so be it. I am God's servant. You know, who says that women are not role models in our Christian faith? On the contrary, in the scriptures, I see all over, Old Testament and New Testament, women, they are so good in terms of obeying the Lord. Mary tops on every other woman. So be it according to your word. And I believe that's the secret of Christian joy. Let's bow as and pray. Lord, all these hustles and bustles we go through every Christmas, sometimes we lose the true meaning of Christmas. It is Christ. Christ is the Christmas. Yes. But also we want to have your joy. After all, it is your will for us to have it all around, every single day and every moment. This is a time that we look within our hearts. Lord, what's missing? Why do I not have joy? Perhaps it's time that we listen to you and be determined to walk in faith and obedience, no matter what. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.